Hi, it's Tim Dre, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO. Thank you for listening to The Worker's Mic, supported by the Illinois AFL-CIO, fighting every day for working families. Visit ilafl-cio.org today. Enjoy the show, and remember, it's better in a union.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. I'm Ken Edwards with the National Coalition of Labor. To my right, Phil Davidson, Mid-America Carpenters Regional Council. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Ken.
No Ed today. You know why?
I knew it.
That joke never gets old for me.
I knew it.
No, I think he's traveling. So listen, we got to have a short opening here because we got a ton to get to.
Yes.
Including something really important that's going on here in Chicagoland, and that's the massive strike that's going on for the Cook County Forest Reserve District
and
Teamsters Local 700. So we have the Vice President, Anthony McGee, coming on to talk about that and what's going on. But here's something fun and good news.
I would say maybe the greatest news ever if you want to hang out with us.
Yeah. So Megan Financial and the Workers' Mic, we're celebrating Union Night on the south side.
Whoa.
Not the north side, the south side. Okay. And what does that mean for union members? It means all union members, either you're actively working or you're retired, you have the chance to win an exclusive White Sox outing and hang out with us. So here's what's happening. Friday, September 18th, we're going to start out at a bar called Cork and Carry at the Park. So it's right near Wright Field. And so we're going to tape the Worker's Mic right then and there. And from there, we're going to go watch the White Sox take on the Detroit Tigers from the 100 level for Friday night game.
Yeah, a game that might have significant meaning, depending.
Imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a few weeks away, and this is a tight race in that AL Central, which is technically a division. So it's nothing like the NL Central, but hey, this is... Neither here nor there.
Maybe one day we'll graduate to Union Night on the north side.
Okay.
Go to WGNradio.com/contests and sign up, enter, and so...
And you get to hang with us, which is the biggest prize of all.
And watch us drink.
Yes. That's worth the price of admission alone.
And make jokes off the air.
Yes.
Which are much funnier than the ones that we make on the air.
Yes.
All right, listen... That's our big announcement. Go sign up WGNradio.com/contests and join us. It's going to be a blast Friday the 18th. And then we got to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with the Teamsters Local 700 right here on The Worker's Mic, 720 WGN.
You're listening to The Worker's Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premis Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Worker's Mic right here on 720 WGN, powered by the National Coalition of Labor. We are stoked today to have on the air with us, and it's completely, as we said at the sort of the top of the show, it's extremely timely because Cook County Forest Reserve employees, represented by the great Teamsters Local 700. We have Anthony McGee. He is the vice president. Welcome, Anthony.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate you guys having us.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is an important issue, so thanks for taking notice.
Certainly is.
Glad to have you on the show, man.
How long have you guys represented the workers in the Forest Reserve?
Oh, Teamsters has represented Forest Reserve for, to my knowledge, at least 2 decades now.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah,
because when I think, you know, I told you off air, I came from 150 in the public sector, and you guys had always represented Cook County Forest Reserve wall to wall. And so who are the worker bees that you represent? Like, explain to me just briefly, what do they do for a living?
So anyone that has enjoyed the 70,000 plus acres in Cook County Forest Reserve knows that it's a gem of the Cook County as a whole.
No,
right?
question about
agreed.
It. Beautiful.
Love the golf courses. You know,
yeah, golf courses are great. Fishing's great.
As most constituents, you know, who enjoy the services provided by public sector employees, they often, you know, don't give a whole lot of thought into how the whole engine runs. Well, our members, quite frankly, are the engine that makes the Forest Reserve runs, whether it's cleaning the bathroom, painting the picnic table, having a coordinated burn that prevents forest fires in the Forest Reserve. They have specialized licenses ranging from commercial driver's licenses to herbicides and pesticides and everything. They're certified arborists. So particularly this summer, which has been a little crazy with all the storms, right?
Yeah, well, no kidding.
Who's cleaning that stuff up, right?
Yeah, you guys.
Who's taking care of those trees? Are they, you know, dead or alive? Are they salvageable? Are they not? You know, so You know, if it's in nature and it's a forest preserve, we do it.
So
covering a lot of land.
Oh, they got it. Yeah, how many square miles?
I'm stumped on the square mileage right now, but I do know the acreage is over 70,000.
Okay, there you go. So good enough for me. It's massive. And let me just go back to something that you said a second ago, because people, I think, don't realize this. And also, you know, once again, when I was at 150, one of my groups was the Will County Forest Reserve. And so I'm extremely familiar with forest reserves, having represented them for, say, over two decades. And to get an arborist license is not easy at all.
Not at all.
Yeah, and a herbicide and a pesticide. And you're literally working with dangerous chemicals. And when they do these controlled burns, it's not like, hey, let's just set something on fire and see what happens. You know, so
what you're saying is you want trained people on these jobs.
Well, you would hope so.
Yes.
And you want well-paid people and people that, you know, devote their lives to making nature accessible for, you know, regular you and I, and it's not an easy thing. And so people think like, oh, wow, whoop-de-doo, they mow lawns. They do a heck of a lot more than that. So why? So anyway, that's my pitch for the workers. but Anthony, well, Anthony, what's the story? Like why the strike? Like what's it about?
So, you know, if you ask the Forest Preserve, they've done their comparables, and, you know, our members are paid at the top of the threshold if you compare them to some county downstate Illinois. Sure, but Cook County is an entity within its own. It's, I believe, the second largest county in all of the country, so the only comparable county is L.A., right, in terms of size.
No question about it. I represent Cook County Highway, and they would play that same game. Like, you know, in terms of counties, there's a county in southern Missouri that has 12 people, and you guys are getting paid a lot more than them.
You're doing great comparatively. Yeah. Yes.
So it is such a joke.
Unfortunately, it's a known falsehood that, you know, their public relations teams like to play these little games on this is what we're doing. Right. So we're here to speak the truth to the public and educate them on really what has transpired for over two decades. This is not a new issue. This is simply an issue that our members have been patient for two decades to be rectified. Quite frankly, our members are grossly underpaid.
Okay.
Earlier this week, the Forest Preserve released had a press release that said laborers make $65,000. Well, let me educate the public on what that really is, which, by the way, living in Cook County, $65,000 a year is not a lot of money.
That's 100% correct.
You can't enjoy a dinner downtown with your family.
Yeah, of course.
On a $65,000 a year salary.
Right.
Try it.
Right.
Okay. But that number is actually $61,000. And it's actually takes 20 years as a maintenance labor worker to make $61,000.
So what do they start at?
They start at right around $41,000, $42,000.
You try supporting a family on $40,000 a year. That's poverty wages in Cook County. End of discussion.
Absolutely.
And
in
In
the meantime, that we have these things called step increases, that are based upon years of service.
Sure.
And the average wage scale in Cook County, each step is over 3%. Right.
Yeah.
In the Forest Preserve specifically, which is a separate legal entity from Cook County.
Yes.
Right. They have non-union individuals who have wage increases in terms of steps ranging from 4.5% to 5%. OK.
Yep.
Our members have step increases ranging from 0.5% or 1%. So a non-union employee could get a dollar raise, and meanwhile, we get 11 cents or 22 cents. Right?
Hard to keep up with inflation at 11 cent annual raise.
Yeah, agreed.
Hard is putting it kindly.
Yeah.
It's impossible
right
now. Right. And with the current state of affairs in this country, this is strictly about survival, right? How can these employees survive at the rate that they've been going? They can't survive off of false promises that have been made to them, right? False promises don't put food on a table, all right? So that is why we are out here. The county will tell you everyone else has accepted this package. Well, everyone else makes six figures. Everyone else has you know, on top of the 8% that was offered, an additional anywhere between 3% and 5% that they're being offered as well. So that's not the case for our members.
Yeah, and no, you can't compare apples to oranges in this regard, because, you know, 8%, it's like, oh my God, 8% raise sounds great. It is when you're making $100,000 a year. But when you're making $40,000 a year, it's nothing.
And so you never
catch up, because that gap, right, between, you know, other Cook County employees and you guys will forever grow. As they're getting 8% of 100 grand, you're getting 8% of 40 grand. It just, you'll never catch up.
No.
Right?
So lost money is unrecoverable.
That's right. And is there a lot of turnover, Anthony, at the Forest Reserve, or do people stay there because they enjoy their careers and believe in it?
There's a mixture. We have some really true blue, nature loving members who really put their heart and soul and go to school.
Yeah.
And this is a job of their dreams,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. Who want to be here forever. Unfortunately, because of the rates of pay that is non-existent here, it forces them to go look for jobs elsewhere. You mentioned the Cook County Highway Department earlier, which, you know, if you took a Cook County Highway motor truck driver, which Teamsters Local 700 happens to represent as well, they make over $50 an hour, right?
Yep.
If you took that same motor truck driver and you placed them in the Forest Preserve, which we have, they make under $30 an hour. So what are we talking? This is all within all of county government. Okay. Right.
It's all Cook County.
It's all Cook County, right.
And so is there a board on the Cook County Forest Reserve District?
Ultimately report to the Board of Commissioners, right?
It is a board, and the board is comprised largely of Cook County commissioners overseen by President Preckwinkle.
Yeah. So where are they on this? I mean, like, you know, these are the people that are supposed to be labor-friendly and worker-friendly. Where are they?
I'm really glad that you asked that question, because this has been burning in me to say this, right? So here, I want everyone to hear me closely. We've had a number of commissioners who've been out to support us, who have stated it publicly, and it's on video, right? I've been in communication with almost every Cook County commissioner. Some have done more than the others. But what I want your listeners to take away from this segment specifically, in Cook County, we fashion ourselves as labor friendly.
Yes.
Okay. I'm here to tell you, and quote me, a lot of that is trash. Okay. We want people to be true to the commitments that they make. If you make a commitment to labor as an elected official, then at some point that's got to be backed up.
Right.
And this is an opportunity for everyone who is going to be seeking labor's endorsement in the upcoming election cycle to take notice of where were they on this issue and similar issues.
Good for you.
No more lip service.
And we're watching.
Good.
And our members are watching. And our members vote.
Our members certainly vote.
That's right.
That's for sure.
What if this has been a problem for 2 decades, Anthony? Like, what, did you just reach your breaking point? Like, why the strike now?
So, I mean, it's not a secret. If you look around what's going on in this country, it costs more to breathe, right? It just, quite simply, you know, the dam is sprung. Right. They don't have any other choice to either stand and fight now or continue or quit and find jobs elsewhere.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And why should they be forced to resign and find employment elsewhere when they've finally achieved a job of their dreams, a job that should be self-sustaining, family-supporting? Why should they? Because management is comfortable with underpaying them.
How does management's wages compare to other comparable communities?
It's in excess.
Go figure.
If I compared them, no disrespect to McHenry County, right, which they want to compare us to, or, you know, one of the quote-unquote collar counties.
I got it.
Yeah, I don't think they'd like that trade-off.
Yeah. That's funny.
Funny how that works.
It's the same as, like, this is reminiscent of the Teamsters Local 727's Brookfield Zoo fight.
It is.
Right?
Very it's just similar. Like,
come on. It is very similar, and our members paid attention to that.
Yeah, good. I'm glad. And good for you guys for standing up and holding the line. I'll tell you this, you know, people that are listening and to the Forest Reserve directly, you're penny wise and pound foolish, because every time you turn somebody over, and we've done the math on this, I've done the math for 100 years, it costs $30,000-$40,000 to bring in a new person, train that new person. They don't know what they're doing, and all you're doing is training somebody else's workforce.
Right.
When you pay low wages and you have skilled labor, you're an apprentice program. Right, for somebody else. And that's not good for the constituents, not good for the taxpayers. It's not a responsible use of taxpayer money. It's just wrong-headed. See, they're not crying poor, by the way, Anthony, right?
No, not at all. This is not an issue of whether they can afford to do it or not afford to do it. This is an issue of, do they want to do it? Do they care enough to do it?
This is what always gets me, Anthony, and listeners, is when you're dealing with the public sector. In this case, it's the Cook County Forest Reserve District. And you're dealing with management. They're sitting across the table, and they got high-priced lawyers, and they got HR directors, and they got consultants, and they got all these people. You would think that you're asking them to take money out of their own pocket and pay you.
Correct.
But guess what? It's taxpayer money. It's not your money.
Yeah.
And when it's not your money, and the money comes in day after day, week after week. You know, you can't shut off a municipality's money supply, right?
No.
Which makes strikes very difficult.
No, I don't think they need to raise taxes to pay 230 employees a fair wage. I think that's exactly right.
But you talk to these people like it's their money, and it's like, hey, listen, because I used to sit across the table as well. You're making great money.
Right.
Kudos to you. Congratulations. But our guys sitting right here, right next to me, are not. And it's not your money. It's a taxpayer's money. And if I ask all the taxpayers of Cook County, do you think these guys deserve a raise? The answer is going to be a resounding absolutely.
Yes.
Right?
So absolutely.
That's my rant.
And take it a step further than that, right?
Yeah.
You know, they will spend all this money on outside resources, right?
Uh-huh.
To avoid,
I'm with you.
You know, paying our members the money that they deserve.
Hey, listen,
right?
cost benefit analysis. I'm going to pay my attorney $250,000 to not pay you $200,000. So I'm 50 grand in the hole because I don't want to pay you money.
Right.
It's not a responsible stewardship of taxpayer money.
Not at all.
And by the way,
as a taxpayer, I oppose.
And by the way, I also want Labor's endorsement later too. By the way,
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh yeah. Don't worry about that. Remember, we resolved that strike for you. We gave you 12 cents. We gave you 15 cents. All right. Listen, Anthony McGee, Vice President, the great local Teamsters 700, a massive local of public sector members, over 11,000 members, very strong. They used to be in Park Ridge. They just moved into their own building in Lombard. Congratulations to you guys for that. Hold the line. And let us know what happens. And listeners, if you're out there, pick up the phone and call your commissioner and tell them to end this strike. Pay these people what they're worth.
Where can our listeners stop by and show some solidarity and support?
So this week we've been located at what's called GHQ, General Headquarters, over in Oak Park at 536 North Harlem.
Okay.
And we're also located downtown. Our strike line is at 69 West Washington in front of the George W. Dunn County Building. But we're making the rounds downtown. We're holding the line strong. So,
hey Anthony, there's no other trades in there, right? Does anybody represent like the clerical employees or anything like that?
You know what? I'm not sure. Okay. They claim to have a few other unions. I know they have a Forest Preserve Police Union as well.
Are they honoring the picket line or no?
Thus far, yes. We've had some success in Oak Park on that one.
Nice.
Yep.
Good for you. Good for you, brother. Yep. All right, listen. Thank you so much for coming on the air. We really appreciate it. We'll be back with more of The Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN.
Hey, thanks for listening to The Workers' Mic. More show to come. Sponsored by Hinge Health. Hinge Health specializes in personalized digital exercise therapy designed for hardworking people, just like you. It's pain relief without waiting rooms and costly medications. Visit hingehealth.com today. Now, back to the show.
You're listening to The Workers' Mic, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Workers' Mic on 720 WGN. I'm Phil Davidson here with Ken Edwards. And Ken, there was something in the news this week that stopped me in my tracks.
Same.
I mean,
yeah, same.
This was a red alert, all hands on deck.
Phil texted me, I want to say it was like late last night or something like that, and I had already done the same. I saved that story. I'm like, oh, absolutely. Definitely want to talk about that.
This is scary. So in New York, New York State, the highway administration there just pulled a PLA off what I believe is the largest capital improvement project in the state's history. It's a $2.81 billion highway improvement program. And they said, you know what? We got to pull the union requirements off this because we're worried about getting participation and funding from the federal government due to the president's antipathy towards unions.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's just
it's insane. Amazing. It's amazing. And it's scary.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I spoke to one of the building trades labor leaders up in that neck of the woods. And it turns out that this has been already going on for some time.
Yeah.
I think they found out about this like last year or something like that. So it's called Contract 6, and they're building a I-81.
Yes.
All right. And so Contracts 1 through 5 had PLAs. And so PLA, for everybody that may be tuning in for the first time, project labor agreement, it means that you're going to use union labor on a project, but that the union's promised not to strike.
Yeah, no strike guarantees.
No work stoppages, right? So things go smoothly. You know what you're getting. It's you know, pretty much in everybody's best interest to have a PLA on a massive infrastructure job like that so things go according to plan.
Right. I think in Illinois has more PLAs than all the other states combined.
I think that's right.
Yes, we are the land of PLAs, and look, we're the land of labor harmony, and we're the land of trained workers
and good infrastructure,
and good infrastructure and efficient jobs and projects coming in within budget.
Yep.
So yeah, there's certain something to be said about the value of PLAs when it comes to massive public infrastructure projects.
So what happened is this. This is what I was told anyway, that they put out for bid. You know, Contract 6, which is the next portion of I-81's, you know, infrastructure project, and they needed federal dollars. It wasn't going to be purely state money. They had to have federal dollars because it's massive. And it goes to the Federal Highway something or other commission. I forget the exact name of it. But anyway, that's where the application goes.
Okay.
And in the bid specs, they had PLA. And I was told that it wasn't rejected. And it wasn't approved.
Just sitting on it.
It was ignored.
Yep.
It was just flat out ignored. So here's our government ignoring a request from a state to build infrastructure that would make people's lives better. And, you know, call me a conspiracy theorist, Phil, but read between the lines, it had a PLA in there. And because it had the PLA requirement, dead silence. Now, Governor Hochul and the New York State DOT and all their people.
General Assembly.
Yep. They remove the PLA requirement. They resubmit it. Voila. It gets approved. How do you like that? And for the first time in this project, there's no PLA. Now, there's going to be Contract 7 and Contract 8. And, oh, by the way, guess who got the contract? The same contractor that got numbers 2 and 4. So it's not like you're going to be using other labor anyway.
Right.
Right? And
you need people with the experience and, again, the training and the productivity who could do a job of this size. This is not something you just bring in some fly-by-night contractor for.
No, this is building roads.
Yes.
And roads are, I don't know about New York, but they're pretty important here in Illinois, right?
Yeah, we like our roads.
Yeah. So, you know, the Trump administration has not specifically said no PLAs, okay? They have not. As a matter of fact, they left some Biden rules in effect that says PLAs good.
Right.
And they said, you know, we're just going to scrutinize them a little bit more, make sure that they make, you know, economic sense.
They lowered the dollar threshold, I believe, though, right? Because I think Biden put in at like $35 million or more required a PLA for federal projects, and I believe Trump dropped that.
Or raised it.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, you're right, he raised it, yeah.
It's been kind of like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth, meaning the Trump administration. On one hand, they're saying, yeah, PLAs are okay. On the other hand, that not approving them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I understand that New York was obviously between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah.
Surprised kind of that they couldn't figure out another way to fund it, but at that scale, they need federal money.
Yes.
So I get that. But once again, you know, I've said this in the past.
It's setting a precedent that is worrisome.
For sure. It's definitely doing that. And two things. And I'll just look, once again, we don't get into politics very often here, right? But, you know, if you're a building trades Trump voter, and here's, you know, the administration, you know, taking away green jobs and energy and solar and wind farms and battery plants and things like that, and now, you know, basically shunning a project labor agreement, I don't see how you defend that. I just don't.
It's very hard to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it was what, national security considerations for why they had to block the wind projects. But this is a case where, no, there's none of those, you know, specious arguments for why you can't do this project. This is obviously there's a need to repair the infrastructure in New York, and basically being told that, yeah, we don't really care about union scale on this.
Right.
I mean, it's you can look at it just saying, like, I don't care about union workers. I don't know how else to really
I don't either.
And observe, you know, this.
It's stupid because it's a prevailing wage job.
Yes.
Right? So I have to pay prevailing wage anyway. So it's not about the money.
Right.
Right? It's just about, you know, I think kneecapping the unions a little bit and saying you can't have, you know, full access to this job. You have to, you know, let non-union contractors come in and bid it and all that kind of nonsense. But here, be careful what you wish for, because when there's no PLA on a project of this magnitude,
yes,
if there's any little scrape, any little dispute, disruption, whatever, all of a sudden, now pickets go up.
Yep.
Right? Now you're in a fight. Now the job shuts down. Now the job slows down. And you've snatched defeat from the jaws of victory, where you could have had a project labor agreement that says there will be no job stoppages. And all of a sudden now, well, there's no PLA, and you know, I'm in a fight over such and such. I'm going to throw up a picket and shut the job down. It just, it's short-sighted.
I don't know if there's anything that people hate more than traffic congestion, and you're really putting that at a huge risk when you remove the PLA from this job. And if there's any sort of slowdown, I mean, we went through this with the Kennedy construction over our life for 3 years. Remember?
I mean, what? Wait, was that construction on the Kennedy?
There was a little bit, yes. 3 years, I mean, basically for all of eternity, but there was a concentration, yes.
A highway that should be 8 lanes is down to 1. Yeah. It's going to take you a while to get
I know.
Somewhere.
So, yeah, imagine if that happens in New York. I mean, it'll be pandemonium, and people say, what did we just do?
Yeah.
So, yeah, but again, to me, the concerning thing was, will this set a precedent where other states will look at, well, maybe we shouldn't put a PLA on this. Oh, maybe if we want a participation, if we want to get the money we're asking for. And this should not be political. And why is the federal government getting involved in this and trying to put their thumbs on the scale when it comes to, you know, union contractors on big jobs like this?
Because this administration, like you said, is anti-union. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
Yeah.
Right? When they came in and busted tried to bust all the federal unions, you know, and now this, and now the labor...
All the TSA workers.
Yeah, now the labor board is starting to, you know, now that they have a full complement of their people in there, they're starting to overturn, you know, all the things that were good for unions and labor.
That was coming, yeah.
Yeah, of course, and it's starting.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe we'll have a barely legal segment on that one day soon.
But you point out, it's just something to think about. To all the union members out there, you know, when you go into the polls, just remember this.
See how you don't.
Yeah.
You know?
If
and look,
if your own economic self-interest is important to you,
yes,
keep this in mind.
And look, and I'm not going to say everything's bad, right? Because, you know, obviously we have some great work with data centers, and hopefully that continues.
Yeah.
And maybe we get over this hurdle of whether they're good, bad, and different. There's pipeline work, right, that this administration is surely in favor of, mm-hmm. and that's great work for the trades.
Yeah.
So we're not saying this is all bad. And we're not saying that everything that this administration does is bad. I'm not saying that at all, because there are some things that are helpful to us. But at the end of the day, oh, by the way, like opening up the national forest. Did you read about that? they're opening up like national forests for drilling and
45 million acres or something. Yeah.
I mean, do we really need national forests, Phil?
I guess not. Let's just start logging in them. Yes.
There's no more park rangers anyway.
No.
People getting mauled by bears. So let's just build a road through them anyway. And drill for oil.
Teddy Roosevelt is rolling in his grave right now.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Horrible.
So anyway, that's sort of, in my opinion, one of the biggest stories out there right now. Here a little bit more locally, Shedd Aquarium workers.
Yeah.
They've been struggling for two years?
Yeah.
To get contracts?
Probably first reported on it 2 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's right.
Yeah.
And I want to say, like, the History Museum folks, they were about to walk out, or was it the, I forget one, the Chicago History, or a smaller one.
Yeah.
And I think they got their deal done already, and they had joined the union after the Shedd, and Shedd is on year two, and so they had a big rally out there, and I think it's AFSCME.
AFSCME's representing them, yeah.
That represents them. But, you know, come on. Once again, you're an aquarium. It's like, are the penguins anti-union?
I don't know.
Like, I know the octopuses are, or the octopi, I should say.
Octopi,
they're
yes.
pro-union because they're very smart.
Yes.
Right? So maybe there's some angry animals in there. But come on, give these guys a contract.
Yeah, it's time.
Yeah. That's stupid.
There's a pretty large endowment.
There has to be a labor dispute everywhere now, Phil.
Yeah.
Doesn't it seem like that?
Seriously.
Like, it's Cook County Forest Reserve. Like, I want to go fishing. Ah, there's a labor dispute, right? Bathrooms are closed, you know, or whatever. Nobody's taking care of it. I don't know. I just don't get it. Like, I want to get coffee. Labor dispute.
That's true.
I want to go fishing.
But also,
labor dispute.
Also a good sign that employees have had enough, you know?
They have no choice.
They have no choice at this point.
Phil.
There's only so much you can take, and
our backs are to the wall.
Yeah.
End of discussion. Our backs are to the wall. We can't afford to live. We can't afford to eat. You know, and I'm talking about what was once the middle class is disappearing quickly. You know, they talk about affordability, but it's a real thing.
Yeah.
End of discussion. It is a real thing, especially if you live in an area that costs you a lot of money to live. And so, I don't know.
I love seeing it because the more people who are fed up, who are looking to form unions, who are looking for better contracts.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it takes. It takes a collective wave to change the way our economy works and to put power and leverage back in the hands of workers. So the more this happens, it's the better for all of us.
I don't disagree with you. It is good to see it, and good to see people standing up. I think it's out of necessity.
It is.
But maybe that's, you know, necessity is the, what do they say? The
mother invention.
Invention. Yeah. So maybe that's what it takes. Somebody emailed me recently and said, you know, how come there's not one big union, like the Wobblies? And so I think in a future episode, maybe we'll have like Bob Bruno, a professor, or some people that are much smarter than you and me.
Yeah.
And certainly Ed.
Impossible
on the show to talk about why isn't there one big union,
or a general strike.
Yeah. Right? I mean, maybe we're getting to that point. So I don't know.
I mean, it's been proposed.
Well, people are banting it about,
yeah, right?
Right.
And that's if you do want to see real change, I mean, that's a lot of what economists will tell you is stop using ChatGPT. Stop buying purchases on Amazon. You know, that's where you can affect real change in this country, is if you hit these mega corporations and conglomerates in their pocketbooks and advocate for workers.
Phil, yeah. No demand, no supply.
Exactly.
You know, and a microcosm of that is these stupid driverless taxis. I won't get in one, and I urge every single person in the world not to get in one. And if there's no demand for them, they go away.
They will.
And
yeah.
End of discussion. So
I don't see those taking hold here.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Yeah.
They're just like, I saw like...
Let them do it in Austin and San Francisco. Go
whatever.
Ahead.
I saw the one like driving through like fireworks on the 4th of July. That's stupid.
Yeah,
it's just, no. You know, it's just not fully baked yet.
No.
So listen, we got to take a quick break,
okay.
Right? And then we're going to come back, make a quick announcement on some charitable giving from WGN and the Workers Mike. And we'll be right back with more of the Workers Mike right here on 720 WGN.
You're listening to the Workers Mike, powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Workers' Mic right here on 720 WGN. Ken, Phil, so we're going to do some quick hits here to end the show.
I like
quick
hits.
You said something about Stellantis making a commitment for some Jeeps.
Stellantis is back in Belvedere.
Nice.
Can
good.
I get a little cheer,
all right,
please?
Hold on a second. There we go. Way to go, Stellantis. even though my Jeep broke down recently.
Got a personal bias here?
We'll see how it comes out. I got stuck in Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, everyone knows the Jeep facility in Rockford.
Yep.
And then everyone was real excited when, during the previous administration under President Joe Biden, there was EV credits going around to manufacturers around the country, and there was big excitement to build EVs at that plant in Belvedere, just outside of Rockford.
Yep.
And then that dried up when the new administration came in, and people were kind of concerned on what was going to happen. And it was just announced that Stellantis will be building the next-gen Jeep Cherokee at the Belvedere plant. They're going to put $800 million into it.
It's massive.
And that means a lot of jobs for our UAW brothers and sisters.
That's awesome.
And good news. Yeah, good news. Jobs. Really good. Jobs.
Jobs equal good.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Another quick hit. You ready?
Yes.
The Chicago Teachers Union.
Oh, yeah.
They sued the Illinois Policy Institute,
correct,
which is an arm of the Liberty Justice Center. All the people that brought you Janus.
Yes.
And free riding in the public sector.
Yeah. IPA is the mortal enemy of the labor movement, I would say, right? Or close to it?
Yeah. All day.
Yes.
Anyway, they said some not nice things about the Chicago Teachers Union.
Yes.
Having to do with audits and things like that. And so the Chicago Teachers Union sued them.
Yes.
For defamation.
For defamation.
Love
yeah.
it. Yeah. Right? I want to go back to something that we covered a few weeks ago, and that is the ongoing lockout of the United Steelworkers in Whiting, Indiana from BP.
From BP, yes.
BP is a terrible, terrible company, and they're going to get booed. Shame on you, BP. They have locked out these hardworking workers for
British Petroleum.
Not American Petroleum.
British Petroleum. Remember them?
Yeah. So they've been locked out. It's just it's terrible, right? And it is union busting at its core. And they did it in Texas. BP did. They're trying to here in Indiana. These guys are holding strong. I want to say that a couple of days ago, Phil, punk rock. How do you like that? Workers Mike talks about punk rock. There's a band from Chicago called The Effigies.
I don't know if
you ever heard of them.
I've never heard
old
of them.
Old school punk hardcore band started in like 1980. Them and a couple other bands played a benefit show in Indiana for the workers that have been locked out.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, right? Super cool. But so the Workers Mike and WGN, and thank you to WGN, are going to make a donation to these workers. And you can do various things. You can buy them food and clothing and things that people need to live their lives. And, you know, if you remember,
while
they're locked out, they want to work. It's not like they're on strike. They want to work. They're literally locked out of their jobs. So if you go to supportoilworkers.com, you'll find ways to support them. And it could be literally anything from dropping off food to sending them care packages to making, you know, I don't even know. Yeah, you can make financial donations. You could come by a picket and all that kind of stuff. But the Workers' Mike, in conjunction with WGN, are going to make a financial donation to them. And hopefully that lockout ends soon, because it really is a travesty for the workers of BP. These people work hard. They work in dangerous conditions. Not a cushy job.
No. And how long has that lockout been going on for now?
Since March. Yeah, and we're in August.
Yes.
So that's just, it's terrible. I just don't get, like, why
can't... For a multi-billion dollar oil company.
And why can't Indiana just go in and sign some executive order to say, you lock out your employees, you don't do business in the state of Indiana?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just do something like that. I mean, I hate to say it, pull a Trump.
Yeah.
Just do something. Like, sign an executive order, right? Mr. Braun. Governor Braun.
Mike Braun?
Whatever his name is.
Yeah.
Sign an executive order, please.
Yes.
To say, if you lock your employees out, you can no longer do business in the state of Indiana.
Kiss your Bear Stadium goodbye.
It's a good one, right? There will be no Bear Stadium.
No.
How about this? The Bears say, as long as there's a lockout going on in Indiana, there will be no Bear Stadium.
They're supposed to be pro-union, the Bears,
right?
And pro-labor.
So there we go. There we go. So those are our few quick hits. A quick reminder, get online, go to WGNradio.com/contests.
Yes.
And sign up for the Workers' Mic.
And to be clear, you
Megan.
Can still come.
You can show up yeah. no matter what. I mean, listen, even if you don't win, just come on down
us.
Anyway.
Yeah.
yeah, hang out and have a couple of beers. Megan Financial, Workers' Mic, WGN,
Southside. But if you're to be eligible for the package with the tickets, we're going to need to see your union card.
Yes, have your union card with you when you come down to Cork and Kerry. Most of us carry it in our wallets anyway.
Yes.
But if for some reason you don't, snap a picture of it, get it on your phone, whatever, figure it out. Don't pretend to walk in with a hard hat and go like, oh, look, I'm a union
guy. I'm a union guy. So. Don't come in with salty language and just think you're going to be in the union.
So, all right, listen, we got to go. We'll be back with more of the Workers' Mic right here next week on 720 WGN.
The preceding episode of the Workers' Mic was powered by the National Coalition of Labor and sponsored by Megan Financial, Premise Health, Voya Financial, and United Healthcare. For additional information and podcasts of the Workers' Mic, visit WGNRadio.com.